हरे आम सहना भवतु सहना भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Section 215. Ah. So that finishes the Rajyalabha Parva. Okay, so what was, you know, within this Rajyalabha Parva, so then what was the point we were establishing here? Yes.
The Pandavas were brought back from Drupad's kingdom?
That was the Vidura Vigamana.
Then they were given the part of Kandava Prastha.
Okay. So they got Kandava Prastha, and?
Then it was like desert. Nobody went there. Nothing grew over there.
There was no main meal. They just went straight to the sweets. Okay, and then after this, and then
they build the whole city, and then there is description of how the protection system was there around the walls, their soldiers, mm-hmm. and how the city was made.
Okay,
and then Krishna himself was present when Pandavas they went in the city.
Okay,
then Narad Muni comes to visit the Pandavas.
Mm-hmm.
He gives them the instructions of that they should make some kind of deal between them. That it doesn't...
Some deal.
That it doesn't make a fight amongst each other.
Okay.
And then he tells the story of Sunda and Upasunda who kill each other for Tilottama.
Uh-huh.
And then the Pandavas, they say that even if they see any of their brothers sitting with Draupadi, they should go out for forest for 12 years and live like a brahmachari.
Okay. So now, if the rule is this, they see just another of the brothers sees a brother with Draupadi, then they have to go to the forest. So then that would be very dangerous, right? Because at any time, a brother could be with Draupadi sitting around somewhere. Yes? No? No. Why don't you disagree? What?
Because it'll always be in a specific room, either her room or like a specific place that other brothers will know.
Uh-huh. So in other words, it'll be in private. All right? So that's the whole point, is that the more intimate interaction between husband and wife is always in private. It's never in public, right? Like that. That's the principle. So then, that way there's no danger, because they would be, it's known that, okay, now Draupadi is at this time with Yudhishthira, therefore they'll only be in this place, so that you know you don't go into that place, so therefore you won't see them. Does that make sense? So the point is, in other words, when one brother's with Draupadi, no one's going to bother them. Right? That's the point. Because the thing is the interaction is, because of its subtle nature, it can't be disturbed. Anything can throw it off. Like that. You know? Just being together, they can throw it off, let alone if somebody else comes in. Right? So therefore, it's private, and... Yeah. Does that make sense? So this public show of affection is not so important. Right? Generally, the public show is for those who nothing happens in private. So now the Arjuna Vasana Arjuna Vanavasana Parva. So what would this indicate?
Arjuna going inside the forest, going in the forest.
Going in the forest. Okay, why would he go in the forest?
Because he went in the room when Draupadi was with the brother.
Ah, he went in the room, so he was being a bad boy. He just couldn't stay away from Draupadi, he had to go, yes. He had to get the Gandiva bow, okay. Okay, so this is what's coming up. Vaishampayana said, the Pandavas, having established such a rule, continued to reside there. By the prowess of their arms, they brought many kings under their sway. Krishna became obedient unto all the five sons of Pritha, those lions among men, of immeasurable energy. Now, why would she become obedient? Because she's protected, right? Does that make sense? In other words, it's not automatic a woman comes under control, right? Becomes obedient. In other words, you have to make him that way, right? It means you catch an elephant in the wild, right? And it's automatically obedient, isn't it? Or possibly a horse. You know, you go out and you catch a wild horse, and then it's immediately obedient just because you happen to be the master, right? Isn't it? That's the rule, isn't it? No? Wait a minute. Every man on the planet says because he's the man and he's the husband, the wife has to be obedient. So what? There's a serious contradiction here. So what's wrong here? So according to this rule, is as soon as you make a connection with this wild animal, then immediately it's obedient just because you're the master. Right? Isn't that logical? It's just plain, straightforward logic, right? No? So then, but the problem is the implications of this, you're saying that 3 billion men on this planet are idiots. That's what you're saying. Because every man will stand on the greatest false ego, and even if you get near this, then they become so insulted that because they're the man, the woman is not automatically obedient. Right? So then, if that's the case, if all these men are idiots, then what is it that the Pandavas are doing that's different that she's obedient? Yes.
They're acting like real men.
Ah, yes. Okay. What are you going to say?
You're saying that they are protecting her.
They're protecting her. So protecting means what?
Taking care.
Taking care. And taking care means?
They're malleable to her needs.
Yes. They're malleable to her needs. So therefore, they're taking care of whatever needs. And needs means?
Emotional needs.
Anything else?
Physical needs.
Huh? Physical needs. Anything else?
Spiritual needs.
Anything else?
Paraphernalia.
That's a big one, that one. Okay. And then?
Social needs.
Anything else?
Desires.
Okay. Within all that. Something else?
Intellectual needs, yes.
Okay, that basically covers the whole thing, at least as far as much as a man can, understand. Beyond that, that is in another realm. But does that make sense? It's all this together. You're working with all this, then it works. Then the woman becomes submissive, right? So that's the whole point that we're dealing with here. So that's why she is. So then, and all five of them means all five of them were dealing properly. Right. Yeah. Of immeasurable energy. So it's immeasurable energy means?
Energy beyond limit.
Energy beyond limit. But what would that mean in practical terms? Yes.
Very active.
Right? So you notice that it's in the same sentence. Krishna became obedient unto all five sons of Pritha, those lions among men of immeasurable energy, right? In other words, lions among men, they're active, they're dynamic, they're always engaged in something, they're never lazy, right? So in other words, she didn't say, unto those great couch potatoes. Oh, couch potatoes among men. Right? Does that make sense? That's the whole point. Energy. And in other words, you've heard that the term money attracts money, right? Someone with money is able to make more money. So in the same way, energy attracts energy. And the feminine nature is energy. So without showing energy, it does not attract energy. So if your energy is greater, then that energy is submissive. You understand? Because when you're dealing with energy, one of the most important things about energy is the pecking order. Right? You understand pecking order? It's something among birds, that birds are very fastidious about who's the bigger bird, who's the top bird. Right? So when birds get together, then, you know, they have to establish who's in charge. And so pecking means the one that's in charge, if the other one gets out of hand, they peck them. Right? So then they, you know, you have to establish that order. Does that make sense? So when you're dealing amongst energy, so energy attracts energy, but you have to have more energy, and that puts the other energy as submissive. Right? Does that make sense? Unfortunately, all this spells work. You know? You know, not sitting back and enjoying. No, it means work. If you work, then things work. If you don't work, nothing works. Right? In other words, work attracts work. Okay. Like the river Saraswati, decorated with elephants, which again take pleasure in that stream, Draupadi took great delight in her five heroic husbands, and they too took delight in her. So in other words, the Saraswati is decorated with the elephants because there's so many elephants there and it looks very beautiful. At the same time, the elephants are enjoying in that river. Right? In the same way is that then by means she's ornamented by all the husbands because they take care of her so nicely. That makes her very confident. Right? So when there's confident, then there's confidence, then there's beauty. Does that make sense? So then that plus on top of, then besides that is the husbands themselves were very, very comfortable and very happy in her association. Understand? So it goes both ways. But unless the man is endeavoring with enthusiasm, with energy, this won't happen. Right? So we should never hear coming out of anybody's mouth that, oh, the wife doesn't respond, she doesn't do this, she doesn't do that. Right? Because as we see here, if the man doesn't do, the woman won't respond. Right? Isn't it? When you look in the mirror, what do you see?
Reflection.
Reflection. Reflection of what?
Yourself.
Yourself. So that means, depending on what you are, that's what you're going to see. So if the guy's without energy and without service, what's he going to see in his wife? What's actually going to be there?
Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah, right. That's the point. So if there's nothing there, there's going to be nothing responding. So that means if something is there, something will respond. So if the wife is not responding, she's not paying attention, she's not serving, what does that mean? The guy is perfect and the woman is bad? No, what does it mean?
The man's not responding and he's lazy.
Yeah, the man's not performing. He's he's lazy. Does that make sense? Okay. So that's the principle. That's the Vedic principle, right? That's why it works. That's why the modern doesn't work, because the modern thinks the woman's got to do everything, right? Because your mom did everything. Now when I get married, my wife's going to do everything, right? Without me doing anything, my mother loves me. She takes care of me. She does everything for me. Right? So what's the big mistake? I think my wife's going to do exactly the same thing. Right? But what we leave out of the equation is your mother has a husband. Right? He's the one that's doing everything for her. Therefore, your mother does everything for you. Right? You catch this? This is one of the biggest mistakes modern man makes. He thinks the woman's just going to do everything for him, like his mother, and he can ignore like he does his mother, and everything will go on fine. Right? And if you don't believe me, just ask any of the women here in this community. Just go for it. You know what I'm saying? Right? Like that. The men will not agree with this. And I make that sound. They will absolutely not agree with this. But every woman on the planet will. You know? And we see here where things are working, then the men are doing like the women today say should be done. So what's changed? The women haven't changed. The men have. That's what's changed. Yes.
What if it's acquired energy, like inherited energy, like inherited influence or money? Is that
inherited?
Is that as respected as
that it's gotten?
It's worked for, apparently worked for.
Inherited? No, it doesn't matter. Like that, inherited is also fine because it's naturally rich. You know. The point is what you do with it. It's not that you have it, it's what you do with it. I have a car, nice and shiny, perfect condition, sits in my garage, I do nothing with it. What's the use? Right? I can say, no, I've taken perfect care of this car, but what are you doing with it? Nothing. Point is just means the energy means that there's interaction. The point is the interaction with the women. Not that you did something outside of them for them, and then you consider job done. I went to work all day, I got the money, so job's done. No, but when you get home, what are you doing about interacting with the women? That's what they see. The other one you're just supposed to have. Right? Facility you're supposed to have. That's the field. But the interaction with them, that's what they look at. But the man thinks, if I've created the field, it's done. My work's done. If you don't interact, then what's the use of the field? Does that make sense? It's hard to understand. You say this, and in the nanosecond you say it, the women understand this. Why? Because the soul by nature is feminine. But the so that's the problem, is the soul is trying to take the part of acting as a male. So when I say these things, it's the men that look bewildered, not the women. Yes?
What are the characteristics that makes this energy, in this case of the men, superior to the other energy, in the sense of, as you were saying, the pecking? What are the characteristics for becoming human?
What are the characteristics? One's powerful, but one is attentive, one is sensitive, one is considerate.
And powerful in what sense?
Powerful means one is secure. Right. In other words, a man can have by his endeavors have some difficulty. That's not a problem, but if the man is insecure, how he'll get the woman's respect? Because the women come to men for security.
And security is based on what?
Security is based on you'd say confidence, but that would be based on understanding who they are. So depending upon their level of realization, that will be either they're very confident of their own material abilities, or they're confident in their spiritual position and they can work within it. Like that. Either way, it'll look the same externally. Right? I mean, someone who's spiritually strong, someone who's insecure will say they have an attitude. Even though they don't. But it looks the same. You know what I'm saying? Like that. Is that okay? Yes.
So, So if it is a brahminical nature, man, he may not externally endeavor for security so much. He may be secure in himself and just depend on what Krishna provides.
Right.
But there must be a special type of being submissive to that.
The point is it's not that, see, the thing is you're leaving it at, he doesn't endeavor for much as far as economic security is. But what you're leaving out there is, what is his interaction with the women of his family? That's what we're talking about. Because the man thinks, if I've created the facility, everything's done. I've created a, it's like this, you've created a facility for a kitchen, but if nobody cooks in it, what's the meaning of it? Right? So the funny thing is the man's created the facility, the woman should use it, but the man doesn't have to. He doesn't have to operate the facility, because he thinks, I am the facility. But if he is the facility, then it's static. It doesn't need any interaction. But the man is expecting interaction. That means he has a need. That makes him dependent. That makes him female. So if he is independent, be independent. Just that independence will actually create. But this isn't independence where it's inconsiderate. It means it's independence where I can work for others and I don't need anything back. This is amanina manadena. I can respect others, take care of their needs, I need nothing back. Right there, that sets the pecking order. Because a woman can't do that. You understand? That's why real brahmacharis always have the respect of women. Because they can do something they cannot do. So that's the basis. Right? Means if you don't interact, you expect them to interact, but if you don't interact, how they'll follow your lead? Right? The woman follows the man, but if the man's not doing something, then it means she'll do nothing. Right? So the men have this weird idea of what a woman should do for a man, but they don't know what a man is. So therefore, they can't know what a man is, because if they do, they'll figure out that they're not one of them. So they neither study what's a man nor a woman, because if they study what's a woman, they'll figure out they're one of those, and if they study man, they'll figure out they're not one of those. So therefore, men stay away from this topic. They avoid it like the plague. Right? They just sit around and down at the bar and complain how their wife is not, you know, dealing nicely. That's it. That's common. All over the planet, everywhere, they'll all do that. But actually be a man, that they don't know how to do. These are men. These are powerful. Emperors of the world. But they take care. Like that. So that's the point. The man thinks, unless I don't take care and I just do things the way I want, then I'm a man. No, that's not a man. That's a woman. That's what women do. Women just do what they want to do. What they need, that has to happen yesterday. That's a woman. So when a man behaves like that, how can a woman respect? They can't. But, it's not very tasty, but it's the actual truth. Like that. Like that. You know, I can say it very freely in an open forum, but one-on-one, I can't say this stuff at all. No man will digest it. In consequence of the illustrious Pandavas being exceedingly virtuous in their practices, the whole race of Kurus, free from sin and happy, grew in prosperity. Now notice that they also now switch from Draupadi with the Pandavas to the Pandavas with the kingdom. It's the same thing. Right? In other words, because they can take care of their wife and be considerate, though they're so powerful, they can also take care of their citizens. It's the same thing. Right? The husband is the masculine principle, the wife's the feminine. The king is the masculine, the citizens are the feminine. It's the same thing. So they're free from sin, happy, grow, and they grow in prosperity. So in the same way, is if the woman's protected, they'll be free from sin. Women are only sinful when they're not protected. Right? Does that make sense? A woman who's not protected, she becomes sinful. Right? Prostitutes are unprotected women. Right? They're not protected women. Does that make sense?
In the very culture of Maharaj, they used to be also that service in society offered by prostitutes.
Yes, but they were unprotected women. That's how they took up the job. They didn't take a nice, well-situated woman and make her into a prostitute. These are ones that had no family, no protector, no something. They became prostitutes.
They weren't admitted in society somehow by the king and then allowed to do that service.
No, they're just part of the society. That's another topic altogether. But my point is that what we're saying is women nowadays are very sinful by nature. Why? Because they're not protected. That's all. If they're protected, why would they be sinful? There's no interest, because by nature they're religious. But they can only be religious when they're protected. If they're not protected, then they'll be sinful. Right? Because through sin, then they can be prosperous. Right? So you're either prosperous through religion or through sin. Right? And if religion means you're protected. Unprotected, then they have to use sin. After some time, O king, it so happened that certain robbers lifted the cattle of a Brahmin. And while they were carrying away the booty, the Brahmana, deprived of his senses by anger, repaired to Kandavaprastha and began to reprove the Pandavas in accents of woe. Why is he reproving the Pandavas?
Because they are the kings, they are supposed to...
Yeah, they're supposed to protect and take care, but they haven't, right? They can say, well, I didn't know about it, but why are the thieves in the first place? That's their point, is that if you're taking care, there are no thieves. So there's thieves, so you're doing something wrong. The Brahmana said, ye Pandavas, from this your dominion, my kind are, even now, being taken away by force, by despicable and wicked wretches. Pursue ye the thieves. Alas, the sacrificial butter of a peaceful Brahmin is being taken away by crows. Alas, the wrecked jackal invadeth the empty cave of a lion. A king that taketh the sixth part of a produce of the land without protecting the subject hath been called by the wise to be the most sinful person in the whole world. Why would he be considered the most sinful?
Exploitation.
That would be by his mentality, that he's taking a sixth of the produce, because that's what the king is. How do you say? By law, he can take 1/6, right? That's the natural tax. 1/4 is for emergency, but 1/6 is the natural tax, right? So that's like around what, 16% or something. So then, why would he be considered the most sinful person in the world?
He's taking something anyway and he's not doing anything to counter it.
Yeah. So yeah. Means if he takes 1/6 of the produce, means he takes 1/6 of the sin. So but that doesn't make him the most sinful man in the world. So then what would be happening that he becomes the most sinful?
He doesn't have protection? He doesn't protect?
He doesn't protect. So when he's not protecting and he's taking the tax, because the tax for a king is to protect. Right, a Vaishya takes tax to make money. He protects so that he can take the tax. You understand? That's the difference between a Vaishya king and the Kshatriya kings. The Vaishya kings, they protect the people so that there's good prosperity, so they can take the tax, because that's their profit. Well, the Kshatriya takes the tax so he can protect the people. So if he takes the tax, doesn't protect, he's exploiting. So instead of taking 1/6, he takes 100%. Right? So that's why you see leaders nowadays, they don't last very long when they get in a position. Because they don't protect, so they take on all the sin of the whole country. And so that has a slightly detrimental effect. The wealth of a Brahmin is being taken away by robbers. Virtue itself is sustaining a diminution. Take me by the hand, ye Pandavas, for I am plunged in grief. Right? So it's personal still. They're coming in like that. Vaishampayana said, Dhananjaya, the son of Kunti, heard those accents of the Brahmana weeping in bitter grief. As soon as he heard those accents, he loudly assured the Brahmin, saying, no fear. Why it says accents? Why are we taking that set of words?
Because their meaning is coming through their mood and tone.
Yes, the mood and tone is coming through, so that's the accent. So the words are being said, but it's by his tone of voice and that he can see he's coming for shelter. And that, so he feels very bad. So he's saying, don't fear, right? Because fear, why fear? Why the point of fear is being brought up? Yes.
Insecurity?
Yes, insecurity. Because he had something, he's lost it, so you become insecure. So he's saying, no fear, because you'll get it back. That's what you're going to say? Yeah. Yes, okay. But it so happened that the chamber where the illustrious Pandavas had their weapons was then occupied by Yudhishthira the just with Krishna. Arjuna therefore was incapable of entering it or going alone with the Brahmin, though repeatedly urged to do either by the weeping accents of the Brahmana. Summoned by the Brahmana, Arjuna reflected with a sorrowful heart, alas, this innocent Brahma's wealth is being robbed. I should certainly dry up his tears. He hath come to our gate and is weeping even now. If I do not protect him, the king will be touched with sin in consequence of my indifference. Of our irreligiousness will be cited throughout the kingdom, and we shall incur a great sin. If disregarding the king I enter the chamber, without doubt I shall be behaving untruthfully towards the monarch without a foe. By entering the chamber, again I incur the penalty of an exile in the woods. But I must overlook everything. I care not if I have to incur sin by disregarding the king. I care not if I have to go to the woods and die there. Virtue is superior to the body, and lasteth after the body hath perished. Right? So this is the Kshatriya, right? He's going to go to the forest, willingly go to the forest for 12 years to perform his duty as a Kshatriya to protect the Brahmin and to protect the kingdom and the, the good name, that's it. The good name of the kingdom, right? Because if they don't protect, the bad name will fall on Yudhishthir. You know, they're just sitting and enjoying everything and not taking care. Right? So this is a Kshatriya. He will lose everything for Dharma. Right? This is how you tell the difference between a Kshatriya and a Vaishya. Vaishya will lose anything for profit. Right? And the Kshatriya will lose anything, means for Dharma. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. Like a Brahmin will give up anything for knowledge. Right? Like that. And the Shudra will give up everything for his art. Right? I think it was, what was that guy? Big, Western classical singer. Very big. He died on stage. Because he was singing. He could hit notes so high that he could, and sustain them, that he could break glass. Like crystal. Right? He had such a perfect voice. Something with a C, I think his name was. So one time he was singing, so that put so much power in the throat that he broke a vein. The jugular vein broke. So he continued the performance, just holding a cloth on the vein, and then at the end of the performance died. Right? That's a Shudra. Okay? So that's the point. They will die for their art, you know? The Vaishya will die for his money, the Kshatriya will die for his religion, for his dharma, his truth, the Brahmin will die for his knowledge. Like that. So that's, everybody will take a risk in their area of importance. So this is where how you tell the difference. Like that. It's not by the gross, it's by the subtle. Like that. Dhananjaya, arriving at this resolution, entered the chamber and talked with Yudhishthira. Coming out with a bow, he cheerfully took the Brahmana. He told the Brahmana, "Proceed, O Brahmana, with haste, so that those wretched robbers may not go much ahead of us. I shall accompany thee and restore unto thee thy wealth that hath fallen into the hands of the thieves. Then Dhananjaya, capable of using both his arms with equal skill, armed with the bow, cased in mail, and riding in his war chariot decked with a standard, pursued the thieves, and piercing them with his arrows, compelled them to give up the booty. Benefiting the Brahmin thus by making over him to him his kind and winning great renown, the hero returned to the capital, bowing unto all the elders and congratulated by everybody. Partha at last approached Yudhishthira, and addressing him said, Give me leave, O Lord, to observe the vow I took. In beholding thee sitting with Draupadi, I have violated the rule established by ourselves. I shall therefore go unto the woods, for this is even our understanding. Then Yudhishthira, suddenly hearing those painful words, became afflicted with grief and said in an agitated voice, Why? A little while after, King Yudhishthira, in grief, said unto his brother Dhananjaya of curly hair. Dhananjaya had curly hair. Yeah, that's why he was the favorite, huh? Like that, who never departed from his vows these words, O sinless one, if I am an authority worthy of regard, listen to what I say. O hero, full well do I know the reason why thou hast entered my chamber and didst what thou regardest to be an act disagreeable to me. But there is no displeasure in my mind. The younger brother may, without fault, enter the chamber where the elder brother sitteth with his wife. It is only the elder brother that acts against the rules of propriety by entering the room when the younger brother sitteth with his wife. Right, why would that be?
Because the wife of the elder brother is considered as an elder sister as a mother?
Yes, right? Because for the younger brother, then it's like you're dealing with mother and father. And for the elder brother, it's like you're dealing with son and daughter. Right? Does that make sense? So, like that is, because you see, a child can go anytime into the parents' room. Alright? So that's the principle. But in the inverse, if the son is with his wife, then the father, mother, they don't enter the room. Right? That's the way it works. Right? So, he was taking it that I'm disregarding Yudhishthira, right? Because it means you're dealing with him on equal. So I'm disregarding, it's his time with Draupadi, so I'm disregarding him by coming into the room. I'm not respecting his privacy. But Yudhishthira is pointing out, it's not a disregard because I'm the older brother. So the younger brother can always come into the elder brother's room. Like that. So from that point, that is removed. But still, but there's the element of, no, they did make an agreement. Right? So he's thinking, no, by this disregard, then it's not a problem, but they have made an agreement. Therefore, O thou of mighty arms, desist from thy purpose. Do what I say. Thy virtue hath sustained no diminution. Thou hast not disregarded me. Arjuna, hearing this, replied, I have heard, even from thee, that quibbling is not permitted in the discharge of duty. I cannot waver from truth. Truth is my weapon. Right? Why would truth be his weapon? Yes.
Protects him.
Say again?
Protects him.
Protects him, yes. If you protect truth, it will protect you. But truth means religion. Truth does not mean facts. Right? The modern definition is facts. Because it's just like in karmakanda. Right? Karmakanda means karma, engaging in sacrifice, right? Sacrifice means voluntarily giving up something for someone else. But in that giving up something for someone else, you're keeping that the result will be yours, and that someone else you're giving it up for is not the Supreme Lord, right? So technically, is it really sacrifice? No, but it's still called sacrifice. Because the principle is still there. I'm giving up something, though I'm going to get something back. Right? So because it's of its disconnection with bhakti, therefore it has its own definition of what is the ultimate goal. The goal is the heavenly planets, but it should be Krishna. This all heavenly planets. right? And sacrifice means that I'm giving something up, but I will get something back later. Rather than I'm giving up something now and I'm giving up later because I only want to please Krishna. When he's pleased, I'll be pleased. Right? So in the same way as in the modern context, truth has to become facts, perceivable facts with the senses, because I'm giving up religion. Does that make sense? If I follow religion, then fact means religion. If I'm not following religion, then truth has to be facts. Only. You understand? Because I've dropped from the emotional platform of rasa in Dharma down to the sensual platform of rasa. And so the sensual platform depends upon the senses. So if they can't perceive it with the senses, it's not truth. Does that make sense? So that's how the modern context simply means that some situation that exists, if I describe that, that's truth. That's a modern concept of those who don't accept religion. Right? So if you accept religion, then truth means what is the actual religious duty that I owe someone. Not what I perceive, how I got left out because I have a wrong idea of what should happen because I don't believe in religion. Does that make sense? Right? This is what makes the difference between the human and the animal. The animal goes by what they want and what they perceive. That's it. They see some food, they want it. It doesn't matter if it's someone else's food, or it's a fast day, or it's something they shouldn't eat because it's bad for their health. No, they see it, they want it. That's it. And if you don't give it to them, you're their enemy. You understand? So that's the sensual platform. That's the platform of truth in the modern context. Right? But the Vedic, then, truth is, what is the religious duty? So therefore, it's not truth that I want to eat now because it would be wrong, because it's a fast day. Right? Does that make sense? This is the difference between the two. Right? Like that. Okay. Vaishampayana continued. Obtaining then the king's permission, Arjuna prepared himself for a forest life. And he went to the forest to live there for 12 years. Right? So he says, not supposed to quibble over duty. What your duty is, just do it. Because quibbling means you're doing nothing. That means if you quibble, means you don't know who you are. Because if you know who you are, you know what to do. Or you know what the goal is, you know what to do. So quibbling means, means I know, but I don't want to do it. Yes?
Would a king call for a witness if he's deciding a death sentence?
Would the king call for a witness if he's deciding a death sentence? Generally, in all these cases, it all must be based on witnesses. Otherwise, how do you know? Unless the person himself says, I've done this.
But then the witness speaking the truth would say that he's not guilty for death?
Yes. So therefore, they have to, through their spies, through other things, what is the situation, then they do. But as it is, most people won't do that. They're too afraid themselves. It means you have to be actually of a very good character to not give witness in a way that someone else would get capital punishment. You understand? Because you'd be worried if I would get it. Right? So it's only someone of character can do it. It's not someone not of character. Because a witness can only be a man of character, right? You can't just take anybody. Of course, in a murder, then means you can take evidence from anybody because it's so serious. Anybody may, but you still have to put it all together to come up with the result. Yes.
Understanding that the death penalty for murder is purifying for that person, not even a man of good character.
Depends upon who it is. If it'll fall on a Brahmin, then they'll never say. Because killing a Brahmin is just not allowed. Like that. You know, so killing a Brahmin is either physically or by character. So if you slander a Brahmin, it's equal to killing him. Like that. So these things are avoided. Section 216. Vaishampayana said, when that spreader of the renown of Kuru's race, the strong-armed Arjuna, set out for the forest, Brahmanas conversant with the Vedas walked behind that illustrious hero to a certain distance. Followed by Brahmanas conversant with the Vedas and their branches, devoted to the contemplation of the Supreme Spirit, by persons skilled in music, ascetics devoted to the deity and reciters of Puranas, by narrators of sacred stories, devotees leading celibate lives, by vanaprastas, Brahmanas sweetly reciting celestial histories, and by various other classes of persons of sweet speeches, Arjuna journeyed like Indra, followed by the Maruts. Right? So he's going to the forest, but all these people are going with him, right? And they're going because they want to go with him, not because they've been told. Right? Arjuna is such a good character. All these kind of persons all want to be with him. We see they're all very elevated persons. Right, one other point is there's, why is it up to this point, Yudhishthir was discussing with him that he doesn't need to go, and why is it when he says, truth is my weapon, he stops talking and agrees? Yes, he's Dharma. So in other words, as Kshatriyas, before they're just, he's taking this personally, you didn't offend me, so therefore you don't deal. You know, it's not a problem. But as soon as he points out, no, it's our religious principle, I always act according to that, then Yudhishthira has to agree, because yes, that's what makes us Kshatriyas. So now he's going to the forest, and then he's followed by all these very qualified Brahmins, Vanaprastas, Brahmacharis, like that. So then they all go with him. O thou of Bharata's race, that bull among the Bharatas saw, as he journeyed, many delightful and picturesque forests, lakes, rivers, seas, provinces, and waters. At length, on arriving at the source of the Ganges, the mighty hero thought of settling there. Where's the source of the Ganges?
Mars?
Yes, Gangotri and Himalayas, right? So that's what he. So he basically, you go up, you walk along, because that's one of the ways of purifying yourself, is to walk along the bank of the Ganga. You know, do a full, wherever you are, you go all the way up the Ganga, come all the way down, go to the ocean, and then back up to your place. And that's considered, you know, one would be purified from so much sin from that. Some of the prayaschittas, that's one of the alternatives. So then, you know, he's walking along the Ganga. Oh, also, here we saw as before, remember Chitrangada, he had a complaint about the Pandavas and why he attacked them, considering a Brahmin walking with them. And what was his complaint?
They had no Brahmin walking in front of them.
In front of them. So why is it all these Brahmins are walking behind?
Because Arjuna is supposed to live the life of a brahmachari.
Yes. So he's living, basically he's living at as like a renunciate. He's not as a king in his regalia, therefore the Brahmins are in front and going, and then he comes behind, right? In other words, who goes behind is who's most important. You know, it means, in other words, they're part of the king's, what do you call it? Retinue, yeah. So therefore, the king is the central feature. But now, is he's going in the front, the Brahmins are the central feature. Does that make sense? Yeah. And then going, then he sees so many nice things, because there's nice things out there you appreciate and you have a nice time. Like that. Oh, almost done here. Okay. Okay. Okay, so next after this, then we'll, any other questions on this? Or something? No. Because next we'll hear about Ulupi. All right.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. just on my desk. Take it. Yes.
This morning when we were sitting up down here, there was what looked like some prasad on your table. Should we take it up to your room?
Yesterday. Today.
This
morning. Oh. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, you can put it on the
table. Even if the witness gives up the faulty person, it's up to the judge to decide. No?
Still, it's up to the judge to decide. The point is it's not considered, means it's not that he'll get sin specifically for giving witness, but it's considered better that he doesn't witness in that way. But at the same time, it's up to the king to, means if the guy is guilty, he's supposed to find that out, he'll be punished anyway. But because being an informant is considered a good thing. So, therefore, one has to be very, very careful in how that information is going. Your bag. I mean, the informant, you have to be very careful that you're not an informant. So it's like, you want to be able to give a witness, but it's not that that's what you do as a job. You have to, therefore, it warrants this.